Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, available on iTunes. Joining me is the hilarious mint julep sipping, I hope. Wonderfully charming Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobooks and Rose Prick's Bachelor podcast. Hey, Ronnie.
Well, hello, man.
I got caught up in my own mint julep referencing and then I lost my way. And
I'm Southwestern charm, okay?
Southwestern charm. You know, I have to thank all our listeners for being patient because it's Friday, which means you've had to wait many more days than you ever should have for the season premiere coverage of Southern Charm, which season four?
It's one of those shows. It's one of our favorite shows. It's one of our biggest shows to cover on here, and it sucks to make it wait. But you guys, I mean, Vanderpump Rules reunion was amazing.
Yeah.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills finale week. Real Housewives of New York premiere week. I mean, what the hell are we going to do, guys?
I know. This is the season four premiere of Southern Charm, I believe, right? Because season one was season one. Then Landon came season two, and Landon became a bitch in season three. And now season four, we have this. So, I mean, I can't think of
season four, Landon has Thomas inside of her. I mean, look at how much we've grown, guys.
I can't think of a better way to cap off our week of celebrating 1 million monthly listens then by heading down to South Carolina. Because can I tell you something, Ronnie? Nothing really even happened in this premiere. And I was like, I love this show. I forgot how much I love this show. This is a show that I think actually gets better every season. Not because it gets more outrageous, but we just, the world of the show just grows bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like The Simpsons. You know, we know all these characters and there's always new characters coming in and I was just so happy by the time the hour was over.
Well, I don't know how you think nothing happened because I've got about 20 pages of notes.
Well,
so that's
too.
A lot of notes about nothing. But I think I was just so happy to see them again. Last season began with this huge nightmare of a dinner party. Like horror music was playing and Thomas kicked everybody out of his house. And then they were like 3 months earlier. This time began with an even worse nightmare. And I thought, how are they going to top off last season's nightmare?
Yeah.
This season, Thomas is fucking Landon. No!
I don't know. I think they're misleading us. I think that they're misleading us. Because it starts off with T-Rav. He has a flower. He brings a flower over to Landon. And she's like, oh, orchids are my favorite for future reference. And they go off to, it looks like the reflecting pool in D.C. I don't know where they
were. Well, I have to say, it began with our line. It began with something we've been pointing out for years, which is every scene begins with, I'm in the neighborhood. Yeah. That was the first line of the season.
How could I overlook that? Well, I was just in the neighborhood. I thought I'd drop by.
Neighborhoods. For the future, orchids are my favorite.
So they go sit on a bench at like the fake reflecting pool, reflecting pond, whatever it's called. I think the pool.
And now that you've got kids in a house, what will make you happy now? Well, cocaine has never let me down. You got me?
How about white diamonds? These have always brought me luck. These have always brought me luck, the Ravenel name. If there's one thing that's brought the Ravenels and the Limehouses together, it's the White Diamonds.
I've never had an experience where I haven't been happy when I've been wearing white pants. So here they are. It's like Thomas back in his white fucking pants.
Yeah, he's like, did I say white diamonds? I meant white people. White people always bring me luck. That's why we only hang out with them.
I like my people just like I like my jeans. White.
I like my people like I like my drugs. White and up my nose.
So he says, well, I'm just looking for a partner in life. I know it's scary for you. You've got so much going on. But why not give love a chance? Give it a shot. I'm like, Landon does not have anything going on, first of all.
Well, she has a website that's written down on paper.
I know you've had to update your WordPress. That was stressful.
I know WordPress is difficult, but let me be your plugin, if you know what I'm saying. You get
no, you've been stressed out, calling your father, asking him for money. But that's no reason not to try and get a stain on these white jeans. What say you, girl?
I hope you say yes, because I hired Cooper to hide in the bushes and take pictures of this moment.
Finally, heterosexuals!
There's nothing better than heterosexuals making love by a pool.
I'd like to invite you to my homosexual hanging party.
Where no homosexuals are allowed. Only heteros.
I'm so happy for your relationship that I bought you this cross to burn in my own yard.
Feel free to drown me in this fake reflecting pool.
I've rented a pickup truck for you to drag me around for blocks and blocks to celebrate your love.
Feel free to choose a bathroom for me not to go into.
Cooper is like the volunteer just married cans on the back of a car. So we get this horrifying scene, which there have been hints of this all over Instagram, but I did not know they were going to open up like, well, it happened. They're fucking.
I think it's like
3 months earlier when we still had.
So Shep is trying to iron. He's like, what the? Gosh, Black & Decker. I need a Rowenta.
Landon's feeding her dong. Patricia is with Chauncey, her dog.
First of all, I actually love the name Chauncey. I don't know why. I just love the name. And I love that she has, is it a pug? It looked like a pug.
It's a little pug.
And she's reading.
And she's putting on gloves so she can read the dog's horoscope in the paper.
Yeah, she doesn't want to get that ink on her fingers. And I get it. But I was like, I just started cracking up. She's in a caftan in bed reading horoscopes to a pug with white gloves on. A pug named Chauncey. Oh, my goodness. So perfect.
So Cameron is in her car and Shep calls. He's driving around to different bars to find his credit card.
Gosh, I thought I left it at the Captain Me bar. What's the name of his bar? The Great Society or something like that.
It's called Cars.
Gosh, imagine if it was called the Great Brewery Society. Cars. He named his bar after an LBJ program.
My bar, MLK. So he's driving around and Cameron's like, "You are a fucking moron." She's headed to Craig's house because no one's seen Craig and Shep. Still hates Craig.
Yeah.
And we'll see that he's going to try and bring him down all season again. Yeah. He hates anyone younger and hotter. And now Craig has fucked his way into some money, right, which has really got to bug Shep.
Well, but I think Shep thinks that Craig is not authentic. Well, he actually says that later on. And that has always been one of Craig's problems, is that it always feels like he's trying to fit in. It's very Great Gatsby, Nick, all that stuff. And, you know, people in life don't like inauthentic people. And Shep really does not like that out of Craig right now. So I don't really think that it's only from that Shep feels threatened. I think that Shep just feels like, be yourself, gosh.
Well, he didn't seem to mind when he was faking it, when he was still taking him around from bar to bar to get some pussy, because Craig was so much younger that he'd have, like, hot girls around him. He just minded it when Craig actually got pussy over him.
Well, I don't know. Pissed. Like, you know, like when you have like a friend that's like sort of new and you're like, well, they're sort of, you know, they're sort of thirsty, but it's cool. He seems cool. But then after 3 years, they're like, ugh, I'm a little over this. So
I'm sorry, but I can't give the thirsty excuse to anybody who hangs out with Whitney.
True.
I mean,
the thirstiest of the thirsty.
Yeah, the thirstiest.
Yeah.
So they decide that they're going to, you know, they have to talk to Craig again because they're shooting the show.
Yeah.
So they're making fun of him, not, you know, lying about the bar exam last year and all that stuff.
Right, which I totally
and then Cameron
about.
Does the typical Cameron thing where she's like, is it annoying that Craig lied about taking the bar exam? Yes. Does it make us not trust him? Yes. Does it make me dislike him? No. Oh, stop asking yourself so many damn questions.
Who was the person who we always made fun of for asking all the rhetorical questions on Bravo? Someone would do that. It was just like a few months ago. Remember? Do I la da 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 da? Yes. Do
yeah, I what? Yes, I hate
who did that.
That?
Who was?
Oh, it's so annoying.
Who was doing that? But someone would do it every single
remember.
Time they talked.
I don't remember who it was, but that's such a reality show thing, and it makes me crazy. And especially with Cameron, because she always has to shoot alone because her husband won't be on camera. So she's, like, asking herself questions and answering. Just get a husband who will shoot already.
Yes. So the latest update with Craig is that he is he's been picking up some hobbies, you know, like sawing wood and gardening. So he's, like, really into, like, DIY shit now. He's, like, building... He's like, yeah, I'm a professional gardener and carpenter now. And
that's so him. That doesn't make you – buying tools at Home Depot does not make you a professional gardener, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, and they, like, cut to a picture of him standing proudly with, like, a giant planter he made, which is more than I can do, but still it was kind of funny.
He's like, I'm making a deck for the back patio, just making a deck for us to sit on.
I wouldn't sit on that thing. You're going to kill your rich girlfriend.
He's basically doing a backdoor audition for HGTV, and I don't know if it's going to work out.
I hope he gets it.
It's perfect, because all those shows on HGTV and Food Network, it's always revealed that whoever's on a show is wildly incompetent, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like and even... they're bringing back Trading Spaces.
Oh, gosh.
It could, like, be the one that, like, throws the wrench in and, you know, fucks everything up in the end and then puts Hildy into a psychotic breakdown.
And, you know, like, Robert Irvine, he was a total con artist. He lied about everything, and they still keep him on the air.
Doesn't he have, like, a million shows? Isn't one of his, like, I will fix your bar?
Everything is, like, fix your bar, fix your restaurant bar, fix your staircase that's in your restaurant, fix your cupcake wars that's on a staircase, fix the landing that's in between the two staircases. Everything is like a, he's like, I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to change out your blender. Like, oh, God, do you actually cook, sir?
Craig tells her,
instead of going out on the weekend, I buy a new power tool to build things.
And Cameron's like, he's saying that because he's saying it calms his mind. But let's be honest, he has shit, nothing else going on, which is the truth, you know. Yeah.
By the way, interjection, the please. Person who always was asking the questions, of course, was Shannon Bedore.
Oh.
Joy. David. Can you remember who I am? No.
Do I love that David just buried me after killing me from cheating?
No. Do I want a deck built by Craig from Southern Charm? No.
No.
Whew, that was really bothering me.
I'm glad. How'd you figure it out?
Because somewhere talking about fakers made me think of Kelly Dodd. And then I was like, oh, I think Kelly Dodd asked a lot of rhetorical questions. And then I remembered, no, it was Shannon.
No.
No.
Craig tells us that his girlfriend Naomi is going to school to get her MBA in finance, and he's going to be studying for the bar while she's there. And
he's studying literally how to build a bar.
Yeah.
For the dining room. I'm going to make a wet bar, man. I'm really studying hard on it.
He didn't even know what bourbon is. Like, he failed that bar exam too.
Ooh,
so now Craig. We go over to Thomas, who's got a new nanny.
Deidre, who looks like the old one.
Yes. And they're living in the guest house. The kids are living in the guest house because they're destructive.
And there's too much cocaine and hookers in the main house.
Yeah. And you can tell that he's never there because Deidre's like, okay, I'll stand here calmly at the counter watching you pretend to bond with your children when they really want me.
Yeah,
this it's like is... she won't even go out of town outside for a smoke break because she knows they'll start crying, you know?
This is some real Tennessee Williams shit right here. Like the children in the guest house with Deidre, the nanny, and then the absentee father who pops in once a day to check in on how the family circus is back there.
While keeping the crazy drug addict mother away.
Yeah.
He tells us Catherine isn't allowed by the court to see the kids until she passes a drug test. And then they cut to one of the kids going, Mama. Mama. While it's playing like with a keychain. It's so sad. God. It's
actually actively sad and dark.
It is.
Very, very sad and dark.
It's a tremendous responsibility to be in charge of two children. And then they show him washing one of his kids in the sink. I'm like, well, at least you didn't put it in the dishwasher.
I'm going to name this one Lime. I'm going to name that one House. Now we are the Lime Houses.
Yolanda will copyright that shit immediately.
You will not call it Limehausen.
You cannot take my two storylines. She's going to go after that girl. Eliza Limehausen. No.
He's like, my least favorite part of this is my concern for my children's future and my own mortality, which I've never really thought about. I'm like, you should have started thinking of that when your balls started touching your knees. You're a little old to start thinking about your mortality, dude.
I just always assume everyone starts thinking about their mortality when they have their first colonoscopy, right?
Which Lord knows he's had. I mean, just going into jail. Not like they let you walk in there without a hand up your butt.
So, anyway, over
with Shep, we meet Shep's fat ready friend, Austin, spelled incorrectly.
He is my favorite new Muppet. He is. So,
fat ready is a Ben Mandelker term, and this guy fills it, right?
No pun intended.
Like a fat old guy in a polo, what's that stitching that they have on the pullover polo shirts? It's like itchy stitch the old men wear to golf. I'm just gonna call it that.
Itchy stitch. Wait, you're talking about the polo, like you're talking about like the golfing polos, which are sort of shiny.
Well, there's those, and then there's the regular polos that have they're itchy the way that they're
just polo.
The cotton is, yes, just the way they're put together is really itchy. Anyway,
itchy stitch. Okay.
Itchy stitch.
he's itchy stitch ready as well as being fat ready.
Yeah,
and he's also shoe ready. I would say shoe ready, as in like not wearing flip flops to work. And I wear flip flops
as a Elizabeth shoe ready.
He's actually ready for Elizabeth shoe. I think we're ready. He's ready to watch Leaving Las Vegas. It's time.
He's ready for some adventures in babysitting. Okay, he's a perv like shit, so he'd probably jerk off through the whole thing anyway. So Shep's like, yeah, from afar, we're just alike, gosh. And this guy, Austin, spelled wrong. I can't with Austin spelled wrong.
Yeah, A-U-S-T-E-N.
Really, there's not multiple ways to spell Austin, okay?
Yeah.
Actually, there is. He's spelled like Jane Austen, which is even creepier.
Well, he has a lot of pride, and I'm sure he has a lot of prejudice. But I'm not sure about his sense and sensibility.
Okay, I take it all back. I take back everything I said in this last scene, except for Fat Reddy.
He just runs around going, Willoughby, Willoughby.
He doesn't know why he's so obsessed with Bridget Jones's Diary. Can't wait for him to connect those dots.
Oh, he just likes what's his face. Mr. Darcy.
So he walks in, and of course this guy is another old guy ready to just get fat and settle down that refuses to do so. So he's in there hitting on girls, and their names are Carly and Gianna, and Shep's like, whoa, Gianna, like from Italy? She's like, yeah, from Buffalo. So Shep says, if I liked a girl, like, I'd be more worried about him than Craig, because, like, Craig never really closed the deal. Really? Because Craig's the one with the rich girl. You're still the one living off the same old grandma vag, like, literally.
Yeah, that's actually kind of true. Yeah.
Yeah, Craig is winning. I'm sorry it bothers you, Shet, but Craig is winning so far.
Yeah, well, at least until his wide collars pop out again, and then it might become a draw. So
I feel like earned money beats old money, you know?
Always. Well, because where did that old money come from? It was earned at some point. You got to start old money sometime. So Craig,
yeah, but it was earned by somebody else.
Well, either way, I still like Shep because I do actually feel like he's intelligent, believe it or not. But yeah, he does have these issues with Craig, which I find to be what I like about them is they're kind of everything we've been saying. I'm like, no, it's, you know, he doesn't like Craig's inauthenticity, and you're saying no, he's threatened by him. It's actually all of them. And that's what makes it very, very interesting and relatable to me, because I think that's a very
human
situation.
Well, and also, I think that we're going to see this season those patterns repeat themselves with this new guy.
Yeah.
Because we already went over the preview where he's fighting with the new guy over some girl, where he made some snarky comment to make the girl not like this new guy.
Kelsey Ballerini. So she comes back. No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, there was some issue with Austin.
So we're going to see those repeats. So we'll see. Time will tell.
We also learn that Shep and Landon basically have not addressed that moment, that really awkward moment last season when Landon's like, maybe like we should be together because maybe I'm in love with you.
And he's like, well, we haven't talked that out, but it's the South, so we sweep that stuff right under the rug. Gosh.
Speaking of shoving stuff right under the rug, it's the next morning, and Austin's woken up, and some girl is in his bed. Maybe it was a girl from Buffalo, and her name is Jordan, and so she's basically doing a walk of shame. He's like, so you want some coconut water before you go? Oh, no? Okay, bye.
You live close, right? So it's not a long walk of shame for you. Good spending time with you.
Have this coconut water. I think Rihanna likes it.
Then he's trying to be, you know, the typical bravo. Well, I'm experiencing the fruits of being single. Jenna wanted marriage, so I had to break up with her because I'm not ready. And then he does that ever so sexy Jax thing of, like, getting naked for the cameras.
Yeah,
and
tushy.
The cameras close up on his zitty ass. I was like, these cameramen already hate him. I'm going to love this.
Yeah, I accidentally paused it there because I was, like, I was writing down something that he said, so I paused it, and then I looked up the screen. I was like, ah! So his whole thing, talk about not old money, is he is a beer company rep. And, you know, Bravo is shady. So I wear flip-flops all the time, but I wear them to, like, the store or whatever. He is, like, going with this beer to various bars or whatever, and they do a close-up of his flip-flop. And he's basically just, like, going around hawking this microbrew.
He sounds like a fucking liar with this job because he walks in, he's like, hi, I'm Austin with red hair. And his hair is blonde. And it's dyed blonde, but the beer is called red hair. It's just like, I already don't trust you, flip-flop liar.
Yeah, he's like, I get to do what I love the most, drink and talk to people and, you know, not earn a lot of money.
And we also know he's poor because his parents look really worried, you know. And the rich parents are like, I hope you find love, honey. But poor parents are like, please, please get a job. Please.
Yeah, he's like, I can support myself. They're like, we're not talking about hand to mouth. And so then he's talking about, he's like, I've always wanted to open up a business from the ground up because that's what my degree was in. I'm like, you have a degree in building businesses from the ground up?
You should get along well with Craig. That's what he's trying to do. Like, literally from the ground.
He's literally going to just build a business. And
his dad is in the FBI in D.C., which I'm watching The Americans right now. So I would really rather see the dad, to be honest, because I like the dad, and I really liked his mom's, like, wonky, worried face.
Yeah,
I like that she was like, I'm worried. She didn't even say anything. She was just like, I'm really scared. And I have a feeling this kid's been so bad that look is just frozen on her face.
Yeah, sort of like a concerned Judith Light look.
Yes, that's it.
She was.
So it's anyway. Like she was imitating Judith Light and someone slapped her on the back and it just stuck.
She froze. So we then cut to Patricia, who is now doing needlepoint of Chauncey, which is just...
Chauncey. Oh, I just started it. See how cute it'll be.
I'm going to give it to Chauncey. We'll see what he says about it. So Whitney comes
in looking like he's taken an entire hospital floor's oxy and just injected it into his face. He's like, hello, mother. Hello, mother. His face not moving at all.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, hello, Whitney. This is my new buzzer instead of the silver bell. Look at it. It's like a little light switch. Yeah. And she's pressing it. She's like, did you hear it? Did you hear it? Did you hear it? Did you hear it? It's not working.
But Michael comes in anyway and, you know, takes the drink order. So nice to see Michael. And then when
the bell is hard to work, Michael. And he's like, the battery's probably worn down.
Worn down battery. I never heard of such a thing. Chauncey, how do you feel about this? Chauncey, meanwhile, is probably like dying on the floor because that switch is these high frequency noises that no one can hear. So Whitney starts telling a story about going to Tulum. He's like, yeah, we decided we're not going to drink, but like, instead, we decided we're just going to smoke a lot of weed, you know, because he's Whitney and he's cool. Oh, he's hipster. God,
he's struggling so hard. He is struggling so hard. Like, you're 60, dude. You're still trying to, like, offend your mom by smoking weed. You fucking loser. Get a life.
It worked. She's like, smoking weed. Do you remember your Uncle Philip? He started smoking grass and ended up working at Blockbuster Video. I don't even know what that is. It sounds like something for poor people who can't go to premieres.
It's harmful physically, mentally. You could lose your family, as evidenced by someone we know. Speaking of, how is Catherine?
Thank you, Michael, for bringing back the silver bell.
Yeah, he brings back good old. He's like, here's Old Faithful, man. So she's like, she just keeps going off about Catherine. I love when she hates somebody and just never lets it go.
Yeah. Oh, she
did. Thomas say she was in rehab? Well, that's public knowledge. Clearly, it was needed, and I hope she turned her life around. Oh, be kind, rewind. Welcome to Blockbuster Video.
I have an application right here, Catherine, for Blockbuster Video. One store left in the chain. It's right here in Charleston. That's because I keep it in business. I still have a VCR.
They say leopards don't change their spots, but I hope that's not correct.
Otherwise, I have to redo all my needlepoint of my leopards.
So then we get me. Look, I'm standing on a surfboard in a lake.
My life has been a mess. So we see Landon saying how last year she was a mess, and they show clips of all her greatest hits of her being bitchy and fighting with Catherine and all that stuff. All that stuff I loved. And she's like, no, I have a scarlet letter, and it's hard to get rid of. Like, okay.
So I escaped, and I traveled. I think the thing is that's so sad about this reference is that the lady who had the scarlet letter, I believe, was actually married, right?
Mr. Prin.
Yeah, that's why the affair even mattered. You know, poor Landon didn't even get to that point. Like, you don't even get a scarlet letter. You just get white jeans.
You get a paddleboard. You get a paddleboard in a shallow creek. Enjoy. You get a Blockbuster card. I have the scarlet Blockbuster card.
So Craig calls and he's like, hey, it's Craig. There's a pool party Sunday.
Laza Llamas.
And she's scared because she hasn't spoken with anyone, especially Shep. After everything from last year, he just shuts down and pretends it's cool. Like, what happened? You giggled and said maybe he's in love with you, and then it kind of ended. It wasn't really that big of a deal.
It's pretty mortifying. I mean, she said she loved a guy on TV, and it's already so awkward to do that. It's like very regressive to middle school or high school to be like, I secretly have a crush on you. Like, maybe we should try. Like, do you want to? It's just really embarrassing. And so I understand. I understand. We then go over to the plantation for a super waspy moment with T-Rav and Eliza Limehouse playing polo.
Eliza Limehouse.
She's the daughter.
She's like, nice shot, Grandpa. Hey, good ball, Grandpa.
Eliza Limehouse, the daughter of Chip Limehouse. Son, Chip, of course, the son of son of Chip Senior Limehouse, who's the son of Chuck
Guacamole
Limehouse. Son of Oakley Limehouse.
He was in the state legislature. And so they just ride the horses, and they're having their horse shop talk. And she's like, "Your horse is breathing hard, Grandpa."
You better get Joaquin.
Yeah, his name is Guapo. And she goes, "Well, Guapo needs a Waco, Grandpa."
Like, see what I did there with the brown people talk?
This faster teenager, Eliza Limehouse. And then he goes, "Joaquin."
There goes Guapo.
I mean, Guapo. And she goes, "Do you mean Joaquin? That's a person. Guapo's the horse." He's like, "Yes, I do this every weekend.
I just go Joaquin through all the Spanish names until someone shows up." Esperanza.
So they're already talking about Catherine because she's having this pool party as a new cast member, because that's what new cast members do on this show. And she's like, "You got to come to my party, Grandpa." She's like, "I heard from Catherine. She texted me a couple of days ago, and it seemed like she was drunk in those texts. And, you know, my cousin Shelby had to kick her out because she said she's sick of babysitting her." Is Shelby her cousin?
I think it's Catherine's cousin. I could be wrong.
Oh, okay. God, this Shelby's a piece of work, too.
Yeah. A lot of new characters this episode. A lot of new characters in the universe.
Yes, they are bringing in a lot of horrid people onto this show. And so far, I'm behind it.
I'm behind it, too. And then at the end of this chatter, Eliza's like, "Well, I'm going to put my helmet on. Uh-oh, I hope there's no spiders in there." And Thomas is like, "I wouldn't worry about the spiders. They detest blue blood." Ha, 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 ha. I'm like, "You're disgusting. Oh, my God, that was amazing."
Last spider that tried to take my blood ended up the same place Catherine's at right now.
Blockbuster Video.
So Chef and Cam go to the swimsuit store, and she's like, "You're not getting a Speedo, are you?" And he's like, "Well, Speedo is my modus operandi. Gosh." So they start talking about this new guy, Austin, and he's like, "That's my new bromance." And she says, "So you've replaced Craig?" And he goes, "A cadaver could replace Craig. No one would notice." Gosh.
Gosh, gosh. I'm excited to see Chelsea. Gosh. So Shep has a crush on this girl named Chelsea, who we saw briefly last season, but she clearly is going to play a larger role this time around. Basically, Austin's going to steal her.
She's kind of Cameron's twin, which is weird that they're friends. Because to me, they look alike. They talk alike. I think he likes Cameron, is what I'm saying. Yeah. So Cameron's bringing Chelsea, gut feeling. She's like, "I have a gut feeling that Chelsea is that one mystical unicorn that can get Shep to propose her, like to settle down or whatever."
Nope, nope, and nope.
Yeah, no, no, no.
Yeah, you say that every season, Cameron. Every season you find somebody like, "I have a feeling that the policewoman who hangs out on Limehouse Boulevard, I think that's going to be the woman that's going to turn Shep." It's like, no, won't do it.
So Shep, they start talking about Craig, and he's like, "I'm so over it. I'm over it. I gave him a second chance, and he blew it. He showed up to me to turn in the application for the bar when he couldn't even take it. It's humiliating, gosh."
Gosh, what was that? A one-year membership to the Jelly of the Month Club? And actually probably was. "You guys, look, jelly, there's pectin in this.
You have to apply."
Craig just has like a huge wall of Smuckers that he thought was bourbon. It's bourbon, right?
My mom used to make jellies for the junior league. That was like one of their charity things. And I can imagine them being like, "Okay, we need an application. We ain't just giving this jalapeno jelly to anybody. Prove that you can be responsible with this jalapeno jelly."
I'm blind to jelly of the month. It's like a very, very exclusive club, okay? It's like the Skulls.
Hey, ain't just everybody making their kids peanut butter and jalapeno jelly sandwiches.
If you want this cactus jelly, you gotta earn it. Earn it with some
possum jelly. Don't grow on trees.
Now you better write an essay about what this mint jelly means to you.
So Shep starts going into his Craig psychology.
Which I thought was like, pretty spot on, actually.
Well, my feeling is that, like, he comes from a family of jocks, and here's Craig, you know, he wrote a cookbook, and he's not like them, so he came here and he wants to be like us, you know, the popped color, the hair, the pastels. It's like,
you are describing the douchiest look of all time right now, and they're showing Craig in his popped collar and his cheesy gelled hair and his pastels.
It's kind of, I mean, I think
it's like one of a kind.
I do think that Shep was onto something. I do think that Craig, he's eager to fit in. He probably was eager to fill some, but maybe there was like a masculinity issue. I don't know. Like maybe it was, there was something that he wasn't as much of a jock as the rest of his family. Maybe he just feels like he needs to kind of be more of a bro. I mean, I don't know. That's, it's hard for me to say that, but it's, I don't think Shep was too far off the mark. I don't know, though, if it's fair to hold that totally against Craig. You know, if,
well, no, I mean, just because your family's a bunch of jocks doesn't mean you have to be a jock and do everything they do. If you want to move somewhere else and be a lawyer or a cook or whatever the hell he wants to be, I mean, why would he have to wear, like, baseball caps that are folded at the center just to look like where he came from? It's stupid. Like, you move to a new place and, I mean, I don't do this, obviously. I moved here and got fat. But like a lot of people move to West Hollywood and they start going to the gym and get spray tans and waxing their eyebrows, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, you try to fit. I know what it's like. I've spent, you know, large portions of my life trying to fit in. And, you know, you just want to be accepted sometimes. But I also get it, too, that the times when I tried the most to fit in were the times when I just felt like I could never bridge that gap. And I think it's because I was not being authentic to myself. You know, like people in this world do like authenticity. They really do. And so if you're trying too hard for anything, then people are not ever going to fully embrace you. And I think that's all Shep is saying. Shep is being like, it's like, stop saying you want to be a lawyer. Stop trying to like dress like in this certain way. Just be you. And if you want to be a carpenter, that's awesome. Be a carpenter. If you want to like go into landscape, if you want to be a chef, do that. And I think that's what Shep is saying. But of course, he's saying it in a way that where he's sort of exasperated and being like, gosh. So it sounds
like you really give Shep a lot of credit.
I do.
Because
I do.
This is his next lie. His next line. Does Naomi know he's a liar?
Well, that was,
no,
that was
way
ridiculous.
He's cheating because he couldn't get pussy in a whorehouse as a monkey with a sack of bananas over his shoulder.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
fuck that guy.
Shep may be right, but he's also an asshole sometimes.
And I think Craig would not have much problem getting pussy, considering he's gotten most of it on this show.
It's true.
Shep.
It's true.
So Craig and Naomi are next. They're on Lomhouse Street. And he's like, whoa, this street is named after the girl we're going to go to a pool party at. This house we're going to a pool party at.
I heard her house is actually made of limes. Isn't that crazy? I wonder if
the
I
house that Lime built. Why, Jean, party at my house. Party Hadid.
Party Hadid.
So Catherine calls. She's like,
hi, guess who? I'm in the neighborhood.
Oh, my goodness.
So yeah, she tells him, they're like, awkward. Catherine's calling. She's like,
yeah, well, I'm back living with my family in Monk's Corner, just trying to make the right choices, et cetera, et cetera.
Like, for instance, do I want to do Amazon Prime two-day delivery, or do I want to do same day? So tempting. Trying to make
why
my
Naomi
choices.
Sometimes I wonder how Naomi's lasted this long in this relationship, just because Craig says things like this on speakerphone with Catherine. He's like, you know, Naomi's real busy, so I think I can hang. Like, Naomi knows that you fucked this girl in a hole you dug on a beach on a trip, right? So basically they agree to get together or whatever, and he's like, wow, that's crazy that she called right when we're on our way to Landon's. And Naomi's like, Craig, now that is terrible, and I'm not going to say anything because I don't want any part of that, and I think we should just keep our mouths shut. We should not say anything to Landon to upset her. We haven't even seen her in so long. Let's just keep it quiet. And he's like, okay.
Then they cut to coming up next. So, Landon, guess who we just spoke to? Catherine. So perfect.
Hilarious. So, pool party.
Pool party at Limenhausen White Jean Party, Hadid.
Yeah. So, this is, by the way, on a show full of a lot of white things, this is probably the whitest party we've ever seen. I mean, Diddy could have thrown this thing. It was so white. So Shep and Austin show up, and Shep's like, gosh, it's my protege, Austin. And Austin's like, I am not the protege. I am younger. I have sort of a job, and I'm younger. So
he's like, not a better looking version. I even drive a better version of his car. So Craig, Naomi, Landon house. Landon's like, so this is at Landon's house. Craig and Naomi come over. And she's like, hi, guys. Well, all I've been doing is working, so I'd love a fun day. What have you been working on? There's been no mention of a job.
Yeah. Well, I'm just writing my memoirs about being on a paddleboard. For future reference,
guys, I started a new chapter on how hard it is for me to bring myself to update WordPress.
Databases are hard.
I'm writing a book called Not Kidding.
I'm reading The Scarlet Letter.
So Craig is like, guess who just we got off the phone with? Catherine.
And she's like, Craig! You know me. And she's like, well, it's okay. I can be your friend. I'm just not interested.
Now, I've actually always been a little bit of a Landon defender because, you know, last season when she started, her bitch flower started to bloom, I was like, you know what? I understand it. You know, Catherine's a mess. She brings drama. She's kind of nasty to Landon. And I understand Landon being like, I just don't like her. I don't want to be around her. I don't want, like, why should I include her in my life? I actually understood that. And I felt like she got really painted as a bitch. But she doesn't help her case when she says things like, I mean, she goes to rehab in Malibu, which is, like, across the country. It's, like, the fanciest rehab in the country. She couldn't even visit her kids if she wants to. Like, we all know what her plan is. She just wants to meet a rich husband. It's, like, part of her plan. I'm like, okay, you're reading way too much into her going to promises or
yeah,
wherever she went.
She says she's just there to find her next rich boyfriend victim. This is the level of crazy we're dealing with. I have to say to that is you are trying to land her leftovers, bitch. You're basically trying to get yourself into the place where you're raising her children. So I think you're more pathetic than she is.
Yeah.
Officially.
I think so.
And I kind of like Landon too, actually. But she's not doing a very good job helping herself here.
Mm-mm.
So he's like, well, I just hope Thomas stays good. And Landon's like, oh, his Instagram posts are so cute. I mean, I can't even go out to lunch with him without someone saying something nasty about us. And Craig's like, well, it doesn't matter if they hooked up because, like, what hurts more than a physical affair? An emotional affair. Blink, blink.
Guess what? Craig. I'm a psychiatrist now. I'm building my office as we speak.
I'm building my deck office. This is going to be in my backyard. I'm going to take customers while Naomi is learning things. And we're going to do this in the deck hot tub I built.
I built a wooden hot tub.
So Landon and Craig arrive at the Lom House.
And that's where Thomas says, it's one of life's simple pleasures, being in Landon's company. Also been around a Limehouse. Daughter of Chip Limehouse. Daughter of Muffy Limehouse. Sister of Gigi Limehouse. Mimi Limehouse.
Salted Rim Limehouse. The great cousin no one speaks of.
Diet Coke with Limehouse.
The family was mortified when Cousin Limehouse married Lemon Limehouse and they became Lemon Limehouse.
They named their child Sprite House, which was awkward because someone wanted him Slice House. And someone said, what's better, Sprite or Slice? And then someone named someone else Fanta House.
Family reunion was planned at Mountain Dew House. None of us went. We all called it Mountain Don't House. Get it? Naomi is talking about how Landon has this new boyfriend, and he arrives. We get to see this guy, and Landon had told us before, he's 25. So call me a cougar if you want, but I've had a rough year. Give me this. So this guy arrives. He's sweating from head to toe through his shirt.
Poor guy. Yeah, what a debut to make.
He just looks like a total douche to me. But, you know, we don't really get to know much of him.
But we get to see him shirtless later, and he has a great body, so...
Yeah.
He passes.
Yeah, for now, until he speaks. Really, all he said was, like, you having fun, babe? And then we get to see our favorite, JD! JD has lost a lot of weight, and Elizabeth is not doing well. Something looks wrong with Elizabeth. I don't know what it is. Time will tell. I will keep watching this season.
Well, it's amazing what your face will turn into every time you wince when your husband goes, wah! Oh, gosh. She's like constantly dropping pots and pans because she's getting startled.
Is it Belle's palsy or is she just married to J.D. Thorne? Wah!
Bourbon.
So, the plight of Landon. Here's her struggle. She's like, I feel like I can't talk to T-Rev. People are just... whispering behind my back. I can't deal with it.
I can literally hear them whispering. Bee!
T-Rev, as for T-Rev, he's just drunk. He's just wasted. He's flanked with blondes. Whitney shows up. He's like, Whitney! Here's blonde number one and blonde number two. And blonde number three is somewhere around here. I guess she's everywhere around here because everyone's blonde.
And he sees the young guy that Landon brings. He's like, well, he doesn't seem like Landon's type. He's strong of arm and odor. So, Thomas.
Good one.
So, yeah, Whitney. Motherfucker! Thomas. So funny. So, Shep intros Whitney to some 24-year-old. And Whitney's like, yeah, I just smoked weed. Yeah, all through my trip to Mexico. My mom's pissed.
You ever been to L.A.? Yeah. Jumbo's Clown Room. Renob. Yeah, I'm in L.A. I live in L.A., sort of.
So Shep goes to say hi to Landon. She's like, hi, maintaining that dad bod, huh?
Yeah.
And she's mad because he hasn't reached out to say sorry.
For what? It's not clear.
In true Southern tradition, I'm supposed to be sunshine and butterflies. And then it cuts to her like, squint smiling, being sunshine and butterflies.
Yeah. And then Chelsea shows up. She's sort of, her hair is different. Her hair is blonde now. And that's basically it. She just shows up. It's just noteworthy that she's there. Chelsea. She's the one that Shep wants, but in the preview we see that Austin gets.
Oh, okay. Whitney, when he sees Thomas, he's like, Thomas is El Fuego.
I learned that when I was in Tulum smoking weed, mother.
Well, you can't be smoking weed and talking Spanish because you don't know what they're gonna do to you down there. You might wind up working at El Blockbustero Video.
I need you to be safe, Whitney. Please go to Blockbuster and at least rent Mall Cop to take with you next time you go.
And whatever you do, don't go to Hollywood Video. That's not where you want to be. You want to be at Blockbuster Video.
Thomas is flanked by all these young girls, and he's like, and he's wasted, by the way. He's already wasted. And he's like, I declare it topless night at this House of Lime, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, at the Lime House.
So Shep talks to some girl, to Cameron's friend,
gosh,
and they're
gosh.
Like, he's like, gosh, still single. She's like, me too.
That's Chelsea.
Like,
well, he's talking to Chelsea.
Oh, okay. So he's like, put a pin in it. There's lots of young people here. So he pulls Naomi aside.
Yeah.
When Craig walks away, and she's like, "Oh, I'm doing great. I've been in school, and Craig is making shutters."
Like literally, I'm shuddering every single time Craig does something. Something. Is this my future? Is this my future? Shudder.
He's making parent shudders. Parents.
He made me a really. He made me tan spice racks already. I'm like, honey, this is great that you like working with wood, but you got to find something else to build now.
He's making terriers. So Shep is like, well, you know, gosh, I think Craig should be a chef. He's got so much talent, gosh. And she's getting mad because he's obviously pulled her aside to just be a dick about Craig. Yeah.
He's also drunk and sweaty at this point, so, you know.
And he's like, does he even still have knowledge to be to take the bar? Gosh, like, that application for the bar, like, where did it even go? And she goes, you know what? I think you should talk to him about this.
She's like, you know what? I think the jars of Smuckers in our kitchen answer that question.
He's like, every time I try and talk to him, he feeds me bullshit.
And I like that she just knows that he's being a complete asshole and doesn't play into him at all. She's like, yeah. You talk to him, you know. Yeah. And then he tells us,
yeah, well, Craig just refuses to show vulnerability, and that's what makes friendship. Feelings, you know, true feelings.
Shut up.
I don't know. I mean, I think it was wrong for him to go to Naomi and put her in that position, but I don't necessarily think that what he was saying was wrong. I'm sorry. I don't. I think
going
I
to someone's
that.
Girlfriend to badmouth them behind their back is wrong.
Yeah, no, I'm
like,
saying
it doesn't
I don't
even
think
matter
what
he was
wrong.
Saying.
Well,
I know, but it doesn't even matter. Well, the point that he even went up to her to fuck with her about Craig is
no. I don't think that he should. I don't think he should have done that at all. I'm just saying that what he was saying, I don't think is wrong. I don't think I'm saying in terms of the logic of what he's saying, like the content of what he was saying, he shouldn't have said it to Naomi. He should have said it to Craig. But I don't think that I think everything he's saying is correct. And you know, I could see that he's just not very good or diplomatic in how he is.
I think he's just not a good friend.
People.
Like, he doesn't like Craig anymore, which is understandable, but just don't like him. You know, why do you have to, like, go fuck with his girlfriend or, like, fuck with him with his girlfriend? I mean, it's just a dick move, you know? And every time he gets a chance to talk about him, all he does is talk about him, you know? He's just not a very good friend.
Well, that's how you don't like someone.
And I don't even think that he's wrong about Craig. I mean, we've had plenty to say about Craig over the years on this show. It's just, I think that Shep acting like this makes him look really bad. I like when Shep was just nice and funny and get along, go along, and was like, you're a mess and I'm going to try and help you. And I am rich so I can live like this. And you're not because you're poor. And that's just the fact of life. And, you know, like trying to help him. But now he's just like an ass, I think.
Yeah,
this
I
just
don't know.
Bugs me seeing Shep like that. I like nice Shep.
I think he is definitely being more of an ass. But I do think that he's nice Shep. I think that he's, in a weird way, I think that Shep is hurt. And I think that he is not processing his hurt properly. So it's coming out in this passive-aggressive way, and it's been festering for like a few years. Because I recognize – I've seen myself act like that before, and I can recognize it. But I've seen other people act like that.
Craig was the one – Craig didn't do anything to him. He did things to Craig. He got mad when Craig got Kelsey Ballerini. Then he went to Craig's family's house and helped Whitney rake him, you know, drag him. What did Craig do to Shep exactly?
I'm not sure, to be honest, but I think I just get the
like
vibe.
We can name probably five things that Shep has done to Craig, but I don't think I could name one thing that Craig has done to Shep.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he feels left behind in some way. I mean, I'm not trying to make Shep be like the victim here. I'm just saying that I don't think that what he's saying is really like so off base. It's not like a ludicrous analysis. But I mean, I know what you're saying. I think that I like Shep when he's just like happy-go-lucky Shep. And I think he still is pretty happy-go-lucky, but there's this asshole side that's coming out. I don't know. It doesn't really bother me. It's weird. It just really doesn't. I think it's just adding more dimension to the situation. They definitely have a frenemy thing brewing, and I love frenemy situations on these shows. So I'm like all for it. I think he should not have approached Naomi. I think that was out of line. And she was good. She did sort of stand up to him. And at the same time, Craig was like, okay, I'll talk to Craig about it. I'm sorry. Shep said, I'll talk to Craig about it.
Well, one person I know that we're going to agree is a terrible human being is Cousin Shelby.
Cousin Shelby. Well, you know,
Girl is terrible. Oh, this girl is awful. She's wearing like her bathing, like her little bikini bottoms and high heels. And she's got like a butter face. And Craig goes, ugh, I hate her. they both like stretch their arms to move away from her. It's like the most awkward move away ever.
I know. Shelby comes in and she's like, I am worried about Catherine. And meanwhile, Eliza and Cameron are like off to the side looking at Shelby's butt hanging out of her bathing suit. And they're like, ew. And then Eliza Limehouse, so perfectly patronizing, is like, you know, genuinely in her heart, she's a sweet girl, but she's just a little cray cray. You know. What with that butt fat hanging out of her bathing suit? I mean, he does that. Hasn't been on the polo house in a long time, but she's definitely been riding something.
And they start intercutting with Catherine, who's getting ready to go somewhere and getting in her car. And it's like, dun, dun. Every time they show her car drive, it's like, dun, dun. That horror music they always play.
I know. And I love that they show her driving across the Ravenel Bridge. It's so mean.
That's true. And you know they really think this is horrible because it's the only time they use music without horns in it. It's like, what are violins doing on this show? Oh, it's horror music for Catherine's
time. So Thomas is telling various women at the party that Catherine has not been taking she's been avoiding drug tests, you know, because she's probably been using again, because she's not taking the drug test in order to be able to visit the kids.
And I'm incredibly worried about her. Yeah, right. Telling Shelby. And Shelby's like, well, I had her in my house, and I had to ask her to leave. And he's like, well, she completed the program, so that's good. And she goes, well, does that even mean she's better, Thomas?
Like, I mean, entire doorway was covered with Amazon Prime packages. How could I leave like that? She had to go.
You better watch out, bitch, because I'm sure one of those packages has a box cutter in it. You're about to get slit. You are barking up the wrong cousin tree.
Absolutely. So we see this whole thing, like, Catherine might be coming. It's like, and, you know, Catherine's driving, and we just know, like, when Shelby shows up, Catherine's showing up soon, and we're like, here comes Catherine. But no, she shows up at a drug test instead.
Moreland Medical. She's like,
hi, I'm Catherine Dennis, and I have an appointment for a drug test.
Boom, 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 boom. Dun, dun. And that's how it ends. But I have to point out that Thomas at one point was telling all these people who are pretending to really care about Catherine while they're all dissing her. He's like, I'm those children's last salvation. If I mess up, they go to foster care. Oh, wow. It's like one of the guys who's like, I babysat my own children. It's not babysitting when they're yours.
Yeah.
You didn't save them. They're your children. Fucking idiot.
And I like, they're like, well, that won't happen. That will never happen. We'll never let that happen. I'm like, that is some privilege right there.
Thomas gets an award for not being so coked up that he's thrown in jail for a season. Yeah. This show.
So good.
An ass.
So good. I cannot wait to see how this all unfolds.
Yes, I love when people on these shows try to be a new person. And this is going to be Catherine's year. Look, I'm just normal. Cannot wait.
I'm excited to see Shep and Craig's burgeoning frenemy feuding. I'm excited to see Craig's newest planter. I'm excited to see Cameron do something. Landon get an orchid. It all makes me happy.
And that brings us to another ending of another week.
Yes.
Watch what happens.
Thank you, everyone, for
thanks for listening, everybody.
So fun. And we'll see y'all on Monday to talk some more Potomac and Atlanta. Bye. Yep.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. We really appreciate the love and support you guys show us. If you have a minute, go to iTunes and leave a review. And if you don't want to do that, maybe next time you're talking to your friends about Bravo, you mention the podcast. Spreading the word really helps us grow, and it means the world to us. Also, check us out on Instagram and at Twitter. On Instagram, we're at WatchWhatCrappens. On Twitter, we're at WhatCrappens. You can also check out me and Ronnie on both platforms. Ronnie is at Ronnie Karam on both Instagram and Twitter, and I'm at BsideBlog on Instagram and Twitter. Really, thank you guys so much. We really mean it. We appreciate the support. And even if you do none of those things, we're just happy you're listening. Thanks.